This is the prayer for the Scriptures for America Gideon Elite Prayer Warriors for the summer of 2019. Heavenly Father, in this appeal to heaven, we ask that the Holy Spirit reveal to us any ungodly strongholds that may be hindering this ministry or your people. Father, the God of this world has blinded the minds of many of our people and placed a veil upon their hearts and minds. Remove that veil, Lord Jesus, and let the light of the gospel and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his truths be made manifest to your people. Let there be a revelation and enlightenment of your word, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we cast down anything and anyone that would dare to exalt itself or himself against the knowledge of God, especially pride and rebellion. We pray against any unknown or known ungodly strongholds and against any fear we might have of receiving the greatest gifts from God, gifts that you desire for your people to have access to. With the authority that you have granted us through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ, we bind any demonic forces from hindering in any way what the Lord has planned for his people, this generation of true Israelites, as we seek once again to find the ancient path. Heavenly Father, we ask that anything that is not God's truth be laid out in the open, and we repent of any lie or deception we may have believed in the past. We ask that you grant us a willingness to remove anything that stands between you and us and the relationship that you desire, that intimate, close friendship. Again, with the authority that you have given us and by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, we bind any and all spells or witchcraft. We cancel any and all satanic assignments, and we forbid the enemy from operating in our lives or our families' lives. We bind the spirit of deception from speaking or showing itself, and we boldly proclaim that no lies will be told against the truth. Lord Jesus, we ask you to bind any spirit that is not of you. Heavenly Father, we also bring before you the covenant you made with your servant and friend Abraham. Heavenly Father, we know who we are, but we do not yet fully understand that truth completely. Grant us a greater understanding. Reveal to us, your people that are called by your name, the things that are hidden until the proper time. Let this be that proper time. We understand that you made a covenant with your people and that you came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Through that covenant promise made with our father Abraham, we claim miraculous healings, miracles, gifts, fruits, wisdom, knowledge and understanding, and the whole of the promise that you have made between you and true Israel. We call for you to fulfill that promise in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Let our hearts be set upon revival of your people and on the restoration of your kingdom. Let us be about the business of the building of your foundation upon which the kingdom order rests. In the name and authority of Jesus Christ, we ask and claim it. Amen. Thank you.
can't find you. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through. God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. For you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart.
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Thursday evening, July 22nd. Here we are, almost through July. One more week, and that's about it. And we will be done with July. This summer just moves right on. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. It is a live program. We're here on July 22nd. We'll have the phone lines open tonight if you have any questions or comments. Quick verse out of Isaiah 24. The earth mourns and withers. The world fades and withers. The exalted of the people of the earth fade away. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants. For they transgressed laws, violated statutes, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore a curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, reading your word, sharing your truths with your remnant, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship that you offer, Father, to each and every one of us that love you, that honor you, that gather, that take time, Lord, out of this madcap world. That take time to gather together, Lord, for sweet fellowship with like-minded believers and sweet fellowship with you and your Holy Spirit. For your word says, wherever two or more are gathered in your name, there you are also. So we welcome you, Lord Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and to join us for this broadcast. Thank you, Lord, for the times that you have put us in. Thank you for the health and the grace and the mercy that you have poured out upon us. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that have come before today in each and every one of our lives, that you have used, O Lord, to strengthen us, to perfect us, to encourage us, to establish us, to prepare us for this day that we see fast approaching. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray, O Lord, for wisdom. I pray for wisdom from your word, for your mercy and grace. And not only for me, Lord, but for the remnant, for those that will return. Lord, for those that have returned and those that will. I pray your mercy and your grace, your blessings, your kindness. Guide and direct me this night, Lord. Help me share some encouraging words with those that are in need of encouragement. And let it glorify you. And I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, remnant, Isaiah, where I've been. That's where we're at. And that's where I've been reading in the scripture. And I think that's where we are in this day and time. I truly do. I encouraged last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting the people to read Isaiah. There is so much there, so much that applies, not just when you get in the latter part of Isaiah that describes our Lord and Savior. There is so much there. The ransomed of the Lord will return. You who pursue righteousness, I read this last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. You who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. You don't have to go through a 12-step program. You don't have to buy all the books on written by anybody else. You don't. You who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord, just look to the Bible. And it'll tell you. And it says, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. And that references to the excavation of a pit. Look to the pit that you came out of. And by inference, who pulled you out of the pit. And that's what we go to if we pursue righteousness, if we look to the Lord. And in the land today, there's very little righteousness in the land. And the majority of the people love to have it so. It is just as the word says, that the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. That is how so many in the land are that call themselves Christians, especially Judeo-Christians, because a Judeo part will lie just to lie. But Christianity is the truth. And so that Judeo-Christianity is just that. It is just a lie. It is a lie. And the modern-day church of what's happening now, of do whatever you want to do, and the so-called church that accepts homosexuality, that accepts women teaching in the church, that accepts this ungodly government that we have, that accepts and teaches and preaches just love, love, love. Like the song from the Antichrists. All you need is love. All you need is love, love, love. No, you need more than just love. You need more than love. Yes, it takes more than love. See, they put it out that all you need is love. They really are putting out that love as lust. And not the love of the Bible. Not the love of a heavenly Father for his creation. Not the love of Jesus Christ for you and me. That's not what they're putting out. And that's not what the majority of the people understand it as. But the lies that are put out, that you just accept anything and everything under the guise of grace, And it just, all it does is cheapen the grace. Yes, Jesus ate with sinners. And he called tax collectors like Matthew to him and said, come and follow me. And so, but do you think that once the tax collector left his old life and came and followed Jesus, that he held on to the evil things in his old life, the lying, the stealing, the cheating? No. How about the woman caught in adultery? Dead to rights. Should have been stoned. And what did Jesus do? He didn't convict her, but what did he say? Go and sin no more. That is what we need today. And so if the homosexuals, the adulterers, the liars, the stealers, if they come to the church, if they come to any of us, because you are the church, called out one, ecclesia, the called out, it doesn't have to be the building. But when these lawbreakers, these sinners, as we all have been, come, it's not acceptance. No, they're told we should tell them what Jesus told the sinner that came. Go and sin no more. See, he forgave her of her past sins. And he said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, oh, well, it's just the way you were made, woman. You were just made to move from man to man to man. You were just made to be an adulteress. That's just how you relate. That's not what he told her. That's not what we need to tell the people today. Go and sin no more. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. That's still just as important as it's ever been. Now, that's not all the Word says. But it does say that. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's not throw the grace and the mercy and the saving that Jesus Christ comes and gives. Let's not throw that out. Because that's important as well. It is. Well, the phone lines are open tonight. One quick current event I'll get to, but... just really some scripture, because the time that we're in, folks, this is it. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And doing a little traveling. Been driving down to Colorado. We're moving some hay equipment in. We're getting ready to start cutting some hay. We put a little hay up here at the Radio Ranch. And so we're getting the equipment moved in, and we're moving. And our brother Jason is traveling to Arkansas as well. I'd ask that you keep him in your prayers, because as we announced, our dear brother Richard Goodwin had passed away down in Arkansas. He was a childhood friend of Pastor Peter's. Many knew him from camps as the sheriff. But he died at home. Natural causes, with his family by his side. And what a blessing that is. It truly is. You know, as a Christian, we should know how to live. And as a Christian, we should know how to die. Because the Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die. So guess what? I'm a man, and I'll die one day. And you men and women, it applies to women, and it's appointed once for everyone to die. That's how it is. It's been written down. It's been decided long ago. It's appointed once for a man to die. And of course, and then the Bible says, and then comes the judgment. Well, see, Brother Rich... he bypassed that. He took care of the judgment before it came. Okay? He took care of that. And you can take care of that. See, Brother Rich was ready. And that's all I think that any of us can do, is to be ready, to be right, to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To do our best so that when this day comes, when this appointed time comes for us to die. I'm not going to get into just what that is. I think that when we die, that it's like a sleep. And the next thing that we realize is like when you go to sleep at night and you wake up the next morning. The next thing you know, whether it's overnight or over a century, the next thing we know is the presence of Jesus Christ. Because the Word says that. Paul writes about that, that he says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And I think that's how that fits. And so we should strive that when that appointed time comes and our life here on earth is over, that the next thing we hear, the next thing we comprehend is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And that will sure apply to our brother Rich. A godly man, one that, well, had attained wisdom, godly wisdom and godly guidance, and wasn't afraid to share it with you, and did with many of us. And there's many of us on the ministry that have very fond memories of our brother Rich. He spent a couple years out here. We've been out here 20 years. He spent a couple years out here at the ranch, just in between places, and stayed out here and helped us redo some fencing and irrigate, and just quite a bit. I learned tons from Mr. Rich. No, he wasn't perfect, but he was forgiven. And he did his best to share Jesus Christ and the blessings and the grace and the mercy that he had been given. He did his best to share that with others. He was a good, godly example of a godly man. One that had been forgiven, that had changed his ways, that had contacted the blood of Christ through the watery grave of full immersion, repentance, baptism for the forgiveness of his sins. And so, remember I mentioned that it's appointed once for a man to die. We don't get out of it. Okay? It came for our fathers and mothers before us, and it will come for us, that appointed time. And then comes the judgment. But let's read here in 1 Corinthians 11. We read this at the time of communion, but it's so important at any time. Let's read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 is where I'll start. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.' Therefore," verse 27, "whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Remember what we read in Isaiah? Isaiah 24, "The earth mourns and withers." We see that today from the floods all over the world, to the famines in many places, to the flooding inside of the droughts that's going on. The earth mourns and withers. The world fades and withers. The exalted of the people of the earth fade away. That is what we are seeing, folks. We are seeing the blessed people of God fade away. Why? Let's read it. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants. Polluted by its inhabitants, it says. For they transgressed laws, violated statutes, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. And that's the same word here in the Lord's Supper. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But, verse 28, but a man must examine himself. That means judge yourself, is what that means. And in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. I hope you see here that this is one of the descriptions of the way out. The way not to be guilty. The way not to be held guilty, as it talks about in Isaiah 24. You go back and read it. Isaiah 24. It's not a big chapter. Takes up maybe a page in your Bible. Isaiah 24. You read it. Read 1 Corinthians 11, the last third. This is the way not to be held guilty, not to face that judgment, to take care of that judgment. Like he says, we're judged here, and when we are judged, we're disciplined by the Lord so that we're not condemned along with the world. See, those that aren't, you may think sometimes, I get this sometimes talking with people on the remnant, sometimes I see it and wonder myself, there's people out there that just have it made. Did we all know people like that, that never have any problems? They never have flat tires on their trailers or their cars when they're driving. They never have, it seems like, medical issues. They never have problems with their children, with their work. They work their time and they're at ball games after work, and they're doing 4-H with the kids, and they're volunteering here, and they're taking vacations. And doesn't everybody, I mean, not everybody's that way, but everybody knows somebody like that, that it just seems like they've got it made. But see, those people, many times, they're not disciplined by the Lord. They don't accept it. Just like we said, when we are judged, we're disciplined by the Lord so that we won't be condemned along with the world. And so this world is fading away, folks. We need to make sure we put on our biblical glasses. Just like that old corny movie, They Live. Oh, the movie was atrocious. The storyline was excellent. And it tells a truth. And you know, truth is getting out. I know I'm rambling, but it's just my thoughts tonight. The truth is getting out. Was traveling, I told you that, kicked on the AM radio, the AM side a little bit today, traveling between Wyoming and Colorado. And on the way back, I hear this on AM radio, this guy talking about how the Democrats and the Republicans, and many of the Republicans are Republican by name, they're just Democrats, not a dime's worth of difference between most of them. I thought, And then he starts talking about how they're snakes. And it wasn't Pastor Peters, I can tell you that, it wasn't. It was just some guy I'd never heard before, about how they're snakes and they just do what snakes do. And how they know that their destruction is coming. And that's why they're just pulling out all the stops and doing everything they can do. And he talked about how, you know, even in their movies and stuff, they tell you what they want to do. They have to. He said this was one of the cosmic laws of the Bible, is how he put it. One of the cosmic laws of the Bible, that the enemy has to tell you what they're going to do. And I thought, you know, this guy's been listening to Pastor Peters. And maybe he has. Maybe he got the same insight that our pastor did years ago. But see, that truth is coming out. I had it described to me. You ever boil pasta? You're having spaghetti night, and you boil pasta. My wife, we were talking about this, and she brought up this and said this is how she thinks it's going to be. You know, so you boil the pasta, and you go over and you put the little colander in the sink, and you pour it out so you can get all the hot water out, and now you've just got the pasta, and then you've got to pour it back in. And when you go to do that, when you go to pour the pasta back in inadvertently, what happens? When you go to do it, you go to dump it, and a couple of noodles fall out, and that's it, because the pasta's sticking in the little colander. And it's like, you don't want to just dump it all. You want to just kind of slide it out, but it just a couple go out at first, and then it just takes forever. Bloop, and finally it all comes out. And that's how Christianity is going to be, at least for the remnant, at least for those that Isaiah 51 says that for the remnant that will return, because they haven't all returned yet. They are still, we're working on another baptism in Knoxville, working on a baptism for a man in Knoxville. We just had a couple drive out from Kentucky and get baptized. What was it, earlier this year, we had a man drive out from Minneapolis. We had a lady fly out from California last year. And we set up not long ago a baptism for a man down in Arkansas, and he got baptized properly. And so, see, people are waking up. The noodles are coming out. It's not just one, and they're not all stuck in the colander. They're moving. They're coming out. Things are changing. People are waking up. I can tell you something people are waking up to. Have you seen the state audits? The states been auditing the vote count. Let me tell you, there's some people that are eating some Pepto-Bismol because there's some nervous people, snakes, whatever they are. There's some nervous people out there, because the states that the big states that were swing states that everybody thought President Trump was going to win, but all of a sudden at 1 a.m. they swung over to Biden. Well, they're going back, and it takes a little while. They're going back and auditing those things. And have you seen the results that's coming out? Oh, President Trump won by what, 7%, 8%, 350,000 votes. It's coming out not just on some left-wing alternative or right-wing alternative media, but the test results. Now, your mainstream media is not covering it. Fox isn't even covering it. But it's happening. It's happening. See, things are changing, folks. Things are changing. You have never seen the flooding that you are seeing. We stopped by and grabbed a quick bite to eat. They had a TV on, and it was on the Weather Channel today. It was afternoon. It was a late lunch. And watching the map of the United States, and here you see drought. Oh, man, drought. It's 112 degrees in Vegas, and California's burning up, and fires everywhere. And then the next picture is the flood warning over, the half of the United States, especially the southwestern United States. And it's like, well, wait a minute. This was a second ago. This area is in drought. They're still in drought. And they're under a flood warning. Think about that, people. Think about that. That hasn't happened. I've been on the volunteer fire department down here coming on 20 years. And so we kind of pay attention to those kind of things when you see it. We have a dispatch crew out in up in Montana, because it's dry as popcorn up there. And so we kind of pay attention when we see droughts and floods. Sometimes we have floods here. We have to go help people. You don't see it a lot together. The drought that causes all the fire danger and then the floods that come on top of it. Colorado just had massive floods. One woman swept away in her car, was killed. They hadn't even recovered her last night. Two other people were missing. Mudslides, flood, the Poudre River flooding. Things are changing, folks. They're changing. It's not just business as usual. Isaiah 24, the earth mourns and withers. The world fades and withers. We are living that. We are seeing that today. Because of the transgressed laws, the violated statutes, and the everlasting covenant has been broken by the covenant people. You can take that for whatever it's worth, but that's what it is, and that is why. You know, so many people, they look at these mainstream why. You know, for prophecy. Oh, this is going to happen this has got to happen in the Middle East. They got to build another wall, and they're going to rebuild the temple. Oh, they're rebuilding the temple over there, blah, blah, blah. And even those in the Anglo-Israel movement get sucked up into it. But, folks, it's the wrong people. It just doesn't apply there, no matter how you twist it and try to make it fit that sandbox overseas. It doesn't. Hebrews, how about that? Hebrews 8, let's talk about that covenant a little bit, okay? Here's that covenant. Verse 7, if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second, for finding fault with them. And see, the covenant has two parts, right? The person that makes the covenant, that was God, and the people he makes it with, the person you make it with, and that's us. That's where the fault was. Just want to clarify that. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, this is Hebrews 8, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So let's pause right there. So granted, we are under the new covenant. Praise God for that, right? We are. We are under the new covenant. Who is under the new covenant, according to Hebrews? Is it the church? Is it spiritual Israel? Or is it maybe the same people that the old covenant was with? Let's read it again. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. There's nothing spiritual there. There's nothing that says the church there. That's just how it is. I see the phone line ringing. Nope. Yep. We'll try it and see. Good
Hello,
evening.
Is Paul there?
Nope. No Paul. Sorry. I don't need Google services. I can tell you that. Anyway, Hebrews 8. Verse 8, I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers. So we're still talking about a line of people here. On the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. And what a great story that is. We'll read on. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with who? You read it. Look in your Bible. Don't believe me. You read it. Hebrews 8, verse 10. Hebrews 8, verse 10. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. What people have had His law, the law of God, in their minds and on their hearts so much that they would give up family and move across the ocean, so much that they would give up family and jobs and go and build great tabernacles and build great cathedrals? What people have had His laws and statutes on their hearts and minds to where they would go take the Word of God and fulfilling the Great Commission all over the world and preach the gospel, converting the Bible into languages? Even now, who is it, Wycliffe? There's Bible translators all over. Wycliffe Bible translators almost got it done. Almost got it done. They're wrapping up places like in South America and New Guinea. And they have brought the Word of God to people in fulfillment of the Great Commission. No, they're not perfect. No, they might not have everything done, but they've done that part. Even to the point of people that, peoples that, sure, indigenous people, not of this covenant, but all the peoples that don't even have a written language, that they even go and teach those people maybe a neighboring language that does have a written language, or English, that they can understand it. This takes years, and that they can understand it. Then they can create a written language in their old language. It was just verbal. And then guess what? Well, then they can translate the Word of God into that, into that previously unknown language that maybe these 2,000 New Guineans or whatever speak. And then they can share. Then they teach the people how to read their own language. And then they can share the Word of God in that. And that goes on. And it's almost done. It's almost done. Look at the Great Commission. Look at it. What is it? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. What people have done that? What people have had His laws and statutes on their hearts and minds? It's the people of the covenant. The house of Israel and the house of Judah. And what people have done that? It has been the Caucasian people that have done it for the last 2,000 years. The Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people. That is who the house of Israel is today. That is who the house of Judah is. That is who that covenant was made for. That is it not plain to see? Is it not obvious? It is. Now, it's politically incorrect. It's incorrectly called anti-Semitic, which is a buzzword today. It's called racist, but it's, isn't it truth? You read it, Hebrews 8. Verse 10, Matthew 26, you just bounce back of, you know, a few chapters. Matthew 26, the Great Commission. Read it in the Gospels. Who's done that? Who's done that? Well, wasn't really, I don't even know how we got to the new covenant. Oh, it's because that's where we are as a people. And our people are waking up. Our people are waking up. They're waking up in different ways and to different things. Some are waking up because of the push for this science experiment called a vaccination. Some are waking up to that and saying, no thank you. And some are using a few more adjectives before the word no. But people that were asleep are waking up. Some are waking up because of this election fraud, obvious election fraud. Obvious. You know, just because CNN doesn't cover it, and MSNBC and Fox News don't put it out as truth and gospel, that doesn't mean anything. Because people are waking up. People are praying for wisdom. And I think part of it is, and I say praise God for these church shutdowns, mainly last year. Because it stopped the Judeo-Christian influence. And there's many of our friends and family that would call themselves Judeo-Christians. And we just have to say, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't know what they're saying. They don't have that understanding that maybe we do. And so if you have one like that, maybe ask the question. Well, did our founding fathers have that work, that ethic? And they may tell you, yeah, but you know, when we go back and read, that's not mentioned. Judaism, Judaic ethic is not mentioned in any of the writings of our forefathers other than to avoid it. And so if you ask questions, sometimes instead of just saying, you can ask questions. So, well, I thought, you know, should anything come before Christ? We should have a Christian ethic. I do my best to have a Christian ethic based on what the Word says. And so what is a Judeo? Oh, well, that's because Christianity came from Judaism. So the belief in Christ came from the disbelief in Christ. And you just try to get people thinking, ask questions. How can it be? How can it be? My understanding, you know, Buddhism is you look within, right? You do for self, and you try to get it one with the world and all that kind of crap. But it denies that Jesus is the Christ. So can you be a good Buddhist and a good Christian? It's a question. Judaism denies that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ. So can you adhere to Judaism and Christianity? It's a question. It's a question. Muslims. Is that right? Muslims? Allah? Whatever. Muslims. Yeah. They deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They deny that he is the Messiah. So can you be a good Muslim, which is a religion, and a good Christian at the same time? No. Our pastor brought that up. Got a CD and a little booklet by it. I don't think I've got one in here. But it's a double-minded people. Oh, man, is that not a great... It is a great booklet. It's a great message that Pastor Peters did years ago. Foundational message. That you can't hold opposite truths at the same time and hold them as truth. And when you're presented with them... It's like the old country western song. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And that's what this nation has done. We haven't stood for anything and we've fallen for everything. And part of that is that Judeo-Christian ethic. It is... An oxymoron, it does not exist. I mean, they say that it does, but it might be Judaism, but it's sure not Christian. How about that? That's probably a better way to put it. But so many people, they hold to that. That, well, Judaism is good. Yeah, those Jews, they're just blinded till the fullness of the Gentiles come in and that's all you hear about it. That's the little buzzword. And that's it. And that gets preached on in churches sometimes, but it's never followed up with Revelation 2:9 or 3:9. So I encourage you to follow up that thought And go to your Bibles and see what Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9 says. Because it describes them. It describes them. Isaiah 51:11 reminds us that a remnant will return. A remnant will return. How about Romans 13? Let's flip back there. Let's take a look at that real quick. Romans 13, because I think it's for today. Now we're almost out of time. Phone lines are open. Maybe time for a quick call. 307-745-5913. Romans. Romans 13. Oh, I'm not going to start at verse 1. But verse 11. Actually, let's get up to verse 8. Let's start at verse 8, because it needs not that it needs an intro, but it is a good intro. So Romans chapter 13 verse 8 says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another." And see, that is what we owe one another. And we shouldn't owe each other anything else. But we do owe that to one another. Do you see that in there? Owe nothing to anyone except. So this is what you owe anyone. Isn't that what it says? Now I'm talking about the brethren. I'm talking about those. I don't mean those that are of the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Owe nothing to anyone except $100. Okay, you could fill in the blank. So I don't owe anybody anything except that $100, right? But if the Bible says, owe nothing to anyone except $100, then that's what the Bible says. Well, let's read what it really says. Except, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. So we owe that to one another. And then he says, why? That's a great thing about the Bible. If you'll take time to read it, it'll tell you, give you instructions, those basic instructions before leaving earth, and it tells you why. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Ooh, wow. And this was not even what I wanted to read in Romans, but it you can't pass it up. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So you want to obey the law, you want to fulfill the law, love your neighbor. That's just what the word says. You read Romans 13, starting in verse 8, and see if I got it wrong. Okay? See if I've got it wrong. That's what it says. Even a simple old Florida cracker like me can understand this. That's just a lead into what I wanted to get to. Verse 11, it says, do this. Okay? The love of the neighbor, owing one another to love one another. Loving your neighbor, fulfilling the law. He says, do this, knowing the time. Okay? Do this, knowing the time, that it's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. It's already the hour. The alarm has been going off, and we have overslept, is what it's saying. It's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near, it says. Lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day. Because it's time. The time is now. You know, if just right up the next little chapter here, Romans 15, verse 4, I've got it highlighted. I've got time to read it here as we wrap up. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to go out with that one. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. I want to invite you back Saturday morning. You can be here. Join us Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. early for you West Coasters, Saturday morning for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Okay? Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll be here. We'll have the phone lines open. We'll be glad to take your call, and we'll be talking about some current events. And again, we'd love to have you there. So we encourage you to join us. Remnant, now's the time, like never before.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find you? As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through.